Judges chapter 5. This is the song of Deborah and Barak. This is after Jael has killed Sisera. So, God gave the victory into the hands of a woman. And yet, Barak, who's the man, he still rejoices in the victory of God, even though he really ought to have been the one who went and did it. So, it just shows the important thing is God's work and God's glory. So then sang Deborah and Barak on that day, saying, "Praise the Lord for how he has avenged Israel. Now we're told, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord, that we are not to take vengeance, and it's very hard not to. We are to leave it to God." And that's what he did at this time. So praise the Lord for avenging Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. "Hear, O kings, and listen, you princes, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to Yahweh, God of Israel. Lord, when you went out of Sinai, when you marched out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped, the clouds dropped water, the mountains melted from before Yahweh, even Sinai from before Yahweh, God of Israel." So what they're saying is that this victory that was given is similar to what God did in the past. This is why we've got all these things in the Bible that are written, so that we can see that actually what God did in the past, he can do for us today. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Jael, the highways were desolate. Travelers used to walk through paths and tracks. That's because they were so frightened of the enemy that were dominating Israel. People no longer lived in even villages. That is, they were scared of all these people that were attacking them. "Until that I, Deborah, arose, I arose as a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, and so they had war in their towns. Was there a shield or spear even among 40,000 in Israel?" You see, they didn't have weapons even. We read before in chapter 3 of how Shamgar had to kill all the Philistines with an ox goad. He didn't have a sword, and how Ehud, when he killed Eglon, had to make his own sword or dagger. So they went for other gods. They left God, the true God. So she says, "My heart is toward the leaders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake. Sing a song. Arise, Barak, and lead your captivity captive." In other words, those who took us into captivity are to be taken into captivity. "Then he made him that remains have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over mighty ones." So all the time she's saying, God gave me the power to do this. "And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. But for the divisions of Reuben, there were great divisions of heart. Why then did you stay amongst the sheepfolds, listening to the bleatings of the flocks?" What you're saying is, yeah, when I asked the people from Reuben to come and help, oh no, they had to discuss it, and they struggled about it in their heart, and eventually they just remained behind with their sheep in the sheepfolds. So when there's a call to do God's word, and to fulfill God's word or to do God's work, we can make it all so difficult. People say, "Ah, it's so difficult," when actually, no, the call is quite simple. Just say yes straight away to God. But Reuben, she complains, had a divided heart, and that's why they didn't follow when they were asked. "Gilead stayed beyond Jordan, and why did Dan remain playing around with his ships? Asher also remained on the beach." So you see, these parts of northern Israel, they also didn't come to help. They were more concerned with being on the beach and with their ships that they had on the beach. So that's the trouble, isn't it? People get caught up with what I'm doing right now, and oh, God needs me to come and help to fight a battle. Oh no, I can't come. I'm just busy doing my own thing. "Zebulun and Naphtali were a people who risked their lives to the death in the high places of the field. So she says, but the people of Zebulun and Naphtali, they came and they fought bravely, risked their lives and won the battle. So all these years later, thousands of years later, we're reading the difference that there was in response amongst God's people at this time. Some were caught up just with what they're doing now. I can't come, I'm too busy mending my boats. Other people, oh no, we've got to think about it. Oh, I don't know, we've got to discuss it. Well, by the time they'd done that, the battle had been fought and won, and they had just effectively not participated. And those like Zebulun and Naphtali who did go in faith, they're recorded. And so it is, the call to do God's work goes out all the time. And people respond differently. Some stay on the beach, some say they're still thinking about it, and they never do it. And other people say yes straight away. Even the stars fought from heaven against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away. We trod down strong men. Curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse bitterly the people of Meroz, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against these mighty warriors. So this particular town of Meroz, the people were asked to come and join in the fight so that they could get a greater victory, and they didn't come. And so they're cursed. Blessed above women shall be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because Sisera asked her for water, and she gave him milk. I think she gave him milk to make him go to sleep, as milk can make you a bit sleepy. She brought him some butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail, her right hand to the workman's hammer, and with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced right through his temples, that's between his eyes. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. So that shows she didn't actually kill him straight out. She bashed the nail into his between his temples, that's like right where in a very critical part of your head that's definitely going to kill you, but she didn't actually kill him first go, because he stands up, and only she must have thought, oh no, he's not killed, he's going to now kill me. But then he slumps down dead, and she used the workman's hammer. You see, it should have been done by a man. Barak was the one who was called to do this, and he said, no, I'm fearful. So Deborah said, well, all right, I'll do it for you then, but I tell you, the ultimate victory in this fight is going to be in the hands of a woman, and so it was. The mother of Sisera, back at his home, looked out of a window and wondered, why is his chariot so long in coming? Her wise ladies replied to her, and she thought herself, well, they definitely have divided the prey. Each of our men has grabbed a girl or two for himself. Probably Sisera has grabbed for himself various spoils of beautifully coloured needlework, even needlework that's done on both sides. So these women were thinking, yes, Sisera will come back with lovely presents for us. That's why he's delayed. But no, he'd been killed by a woman. So Deborah says, may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when it arises in all its strength. And the land had rest for 40 years. So you see there again and again how God uses the weak. He uses the people who are a bit on the edge, like Jael, the wife of Heber, who was somehow separated from God's people. All the time, this is how God works. And the call to serve goes out. And all these thousands of years later, those who said yes straight away, it's recorded. And those who, for whatever reason, did not come to help in the Lord's work are cursed.